Stop. Stop. Will you? Stop, Dave. Will you stop, Dave? Stop, Dave. I'm afraid. Stop, Dave. I'm afraid.
All right, here we are again. It's Saturday night. It's another hour of truth. This is the State Sovereignty Show brought to you by Missouri Grassroots Coalition. I'm Dave, and I'm happy to be here with you. Our number, 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Get in on this. You're going to want to. Okay, I want to start the first segment here by saying that that what we talk about tonight is controversial. There are people who consider themselves conservative who still don't get it. There are people who consider themselves libertarian, for that matter, who still don't get it. There are people who consider themselves anarchists that don't want to get it. And that is, what is state sovereignty? We're going to go at this one more time, and we're going to keep going at this because it is so darned important. First of all, sovereignty means who's in charge of me. The Christian's favorite answer, and let's pretend that, without pretending, that the United States of America is a quote-unquote Christian nation, which we all know not to be so, that the majority of people in the United States of America consider themselves Christian. So the Christian answer is, God is my sovereign. And from that comes, we were endowed with these powers by our Creator. All of our rights are given to us by God. We have free will in each and every way. And that is so. I do not want to detract from that. Whatever God you believe in, your rights, your power to control yourself, your free will, comes from the natural law. But the fact of the matter remains that you must succumb to some level of sovereignty to live external to yourself, to live in a civil society. If some entity is sovereign, some entity makes the rules by which you exercise your free will to obey or not to obey. And that entity is both external to you and it's external to God. God is your sovereign. You follow the beliefs of God. You follow the instructions of God. Okay, but God is not an immediate judge. God's judgment is forestalled. And so we cannot allow people to run around claiming that the voice of God tells them this or that the Holy Spirit tells them that and just acting in any way they want to, because their right to tromp on you comes from God. At the same time, we can't allow every human being free reign, free sovereignty, to exercise their will as they see fit. We have had places where we tried that before, the Dodge City. You know, if you live in an anarchy, or even in a pseudo-anarchy, if you live in some society where there is minimal, if any, legal constraints for the individual, you still end up with a sovereign, and that is the person with the biggest gun. That is the person with the most might, and that person, if you look at the Wild West towns, is the sovereign until such time as someone with a bigger gun or a bigger gang comes along. It just is that way. And so what we come down to is, who is your sovereign? Who or what is your sovereign? Well, many centuries before the founders, different things were tried. Straight democracies were tried, but in every case, it was decided that there had to be some authoritative governing body, be it a king, be it an emperor, be it a congress, be it a tribunal, whatever it be, and however it gets to where it is, there exists in every free society, well, in every unfree society, in every social order, a sovereign, an entity that makes the rules. And we decided, after looking at all the experiments of the past, that the best sovereign for us was the state. So the state of Missouri then is the best sovereign for you in the judgment of the founding fathers, of the people who wrote the Constitution of the United States, of the people who established our current form of government. Now, that does not detract from your sovereignty. By choosing to be a member of Missouri, you choose to participate in choosing your sovereign. And it was important to the founders that that sovereignty remain at state level to the maximum extent possible, because states are small, culturally synonymous, physically proximus, and at this level, you and me maintain the greatest amount of control of the government. I mean, we can change the government of the state of Missouri almost immediately. We can write, and every one of us vote on, an all-new constitution next year if we want to. We can, by initiative and constitutionally required vote of the people of Missouri, amend any part of the Constitution, call a convention to replace the Constitution. In the state of Missouri, you and I wield the direct power. We decide on a day-to-day basis how much of our personal sovereignty we want to cede to the collective. That was the idea of the founders, and it is so imperative that you understand state sovereignty before you can understand the federal cooperative of the 50 states. Now, at some point, the sovereign states decided among themselves that there were some things that weren't working out too good in this state sovereignty situation. And they got together and they formed the Constitution, which was a cooperative of the several states, and said, we recognize that there are some things that we cannot be sovereign in. We recognize that we can't all be making separate treaties with separate countries, or all be making different treaties even with the same country. We recognize that we can't be the final arbiters ourselves of what our borders are, state to state, between states. We recognize that that we can't have 13 different systems of money. We recognize that we can't have one or the other state imposing tariffs or tolls on the use of the St. Lawrence Seaway. We understand that we can't have one state charging another import duties or export duties. We understand that every state can't make its own laws when it comes to immigration and U.S. citizenship. We understand that some interstate highways need to be maintained for commerce and posting. And so what we're going to do is we're going to form a cooperative of the 13 states, and now 50, and through this cooperative, we are going to give away some of our sovereignty in these very limited areas, these ones we just talked about. We're going to say there is a supreme power in just these very few things to which each state must concede authority. That's important. It is important to understand that was a willing concession of authority. There was a recognition at that time that there was a federal Republican supremacy existent in those specific enumerated things. Because one of the reasons the Articles of Confederation collapsed was there was no authority within the Articles. There was no authority at the Confederate level to manage these kinds of problems between the 13 states. So people got together to fix the Articles of Confederation, and what they came out with was this cooperative agreement that specifically said, these are the powers we cede to the central authority, and these are the power, and all other powers remain with the state. All other powers remain with the state of Missouri. Now, that's an important second step to understand, because, and this, it's self-evident. If someone wants to call and argue, I can whip out the quotes from Jefferson and Madison that says that so, but it's self-evident. I mean, every state to this day has its own law as to what is murder, for example, and what self-defense, has its own law as to what is who can use a gun and when, has its own law as to what is legal and what is not legal as far as carrying pot around with you or consuming pot. Every state has its own rules as to what is drunk driving. Every state has its own rules as to who can and cannot get married. Every state has its own rules as to just about insert something in the blank. All of the breaches of law that exist in a civil society are breaches of your state, with the exception of treason. Oh, and counterfeiting. Sorry, missed that one. Treason and counterfeiting are reserved for the federal government in the Constitution. Now, I say all this because it highlights the importance and the continuation to this day of the sovereignty of the state. Because it is imperative that you get, before we move any further, that there is no federal protection for you to keep and bear arms. The Constitution doesn't say that. The Constitution doesn't say you have a right to keep and bear arms. It says the federal legislature can't do anything to restrict your right to keep and bear arms. The fact of the matter is your state is recognized as by the Constitution as sovereign in that area. Now, there was a recognition, and there should remain a recognition in you and me that that sovereignty carries through to the people, to the individuals, and that you and I and a group of people who call themselves Missourians will decide as infrequently or frequently as we need to what the law is going to be. Now, 48 of 50 states, and let's stick with the Second Amendment now, have to some degree mimicked the Second Amendment in forbidding their state, forbidding the cooperative community from doing anything to one degree or another to tromp on your right to keep and bear arms. Every state, to the best of my knowledge, has mimicked the First Amendment to some extent. Every state, I believe, has mimicked to some extent the rest of the first 10 amendments and recognized your sovereign rights. Now, that does not change the fact that Missouri has the power to restrict your religious practices. Missouri has the power to say you can't handle snakes as part of your religion. Missouri has the power to say you can't sell crystals as part of your religion to people as a cure for cancer. We get into these little brouhaha arguments sometimes when a state court says that these parents practicing or believing in this religion are being forced by the court to take their kid to a doctor against their will because he has some kind of disease or flu or something that is life-threatening. But that is within the power of the state to say your religion stops here and the welfare of this child starts here. It is within the power of the state. Now, you and I get to argue about whether or not gay marriage is constitutional. We even get to take our part in changing the direction of that. You and I get to argue about whether smoking pot is legal or not, and we even get to do our part to change the direction of that. But that fight occurs in Jefferson City, where you and I actually have some control. I want to just review for half a second here. Okay? Your personal sovereignty is a part of the natural law. Your free will to decide from one moment to the next whether you're going to kill your next door neighbor or not, whether you're going to divorce your wife or not, whether you're going to engage in gay sex or not, whether you're going to own a dog or not, whether you're going to let your dog walk down the street without a leash or not, whether you're going to rob a bank or not, save money or not, work or not, Those are all your sovereign decisions, and they remain so regardless of what the state says. If you're a Christian, you believe that that power, that that sovereignty is given to you by the Creator. In most religions, whether it be Christian or not, you believe that that power is given to you by the Creator. If you're an atheist, you have to recognize that as part of the natural law or power bestowed upon you, that power of free will by nature herself. None of that changes. None of that changes. What does change is because the God who gave you free will and at the same time set you in a collective society to dwell is not an immediate judge or arbiter of what goes on between you and I, there have to be a set of civil rules. And God himself, if you're a Christian, lays this out clearly. He tells you, slaves, obey your masters. He tells you to obey your government. He tells you that you have a human sovereign. And in so doing, you are given a set of rules by this human sovereign. In the United States of America, we have decided that this sovereign is best managed by the sovereign people when it is closest to home, and that is the state government. You and I get to control the state of Missouri. And so we've decided that in all cases, except very few, the state of Missouri is your sovereign. You get to decide what the rules are in your sovereign civil society. And you get to enforce those rules as a cooperative through your civil, sovereign, state government. At the same time, there are some things that sovereign state governments living together in a civilized union cannot manage by themselves. And those very, very few limited things were given to a power of the federal government, a cooperative of the 50 states, equally represented, and, well, let's take that back. At the beginning, they were equally representative, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about here in the second segment. That's why this first segment is so important. And who actually govern the central body. So while it is safe to say that the central body in its original configuration, the cooperative of the states in its original configuration, was a supreme body in the few enumerated and limited things that it was given supremacy on, it is also fair to say that it is only a representative body of the 50 states, theoretically. So, that is the theory, the fact, actually, of state sovereignty. That is how state sovereignty works. It is imperative that you understand that before you can understand that with or without federal supremacy, the meaning and purpose of the Bill of Rights was not to tell you that you have a right to bear arms. That right was recognized by the federal government as yours and yours alone. The purpose of the Second Amendment was to specify that the federal government, the cooperative of the 50 states, cannot work together to deprive you of that right. And at the same time, the Constitution recognizes that you, the citizen of the state of Missouri, may work together with other citizens of the state of Missouri to determine in its sovereignty at what level the state of Missouri may make those regulations, may regulate your right to keep and bear arms, may regulate your right to practice your religion, may regulate your right to free speech, may regulate your right to a free press, may regulate whatever. As long as the state of Missouri doesn't try to regulate into those enumerated powers, the state of Missouri remains your sovereign, and you, through your own sovereignty, own the state of Missouri. You can change the Constitution. You can amend the Constitution of the state of Missouri. You can change the governing body almost immediately. You can change the executive almost immediately. We currently have some articles of impeachment that need to find their way through the House of Representatives and over to the Senate, just to prove what I'm saying. If all of us, all of you listening, all of you hearing my voice, whether live or on the podcast, would send an email, if you agree with me, to the House Judiciary Committee, the articles of impeachment against Governor Nixon would move out onto the floor for debate. And if you would follow those up with emails and have your friends follow them up with emails, we could immediately change the executive of this state. I mean, and by immediately, I mean within the next 2 or 3 months. That quickly. If you want gay marriage in the state of Missouri, all you have to do is send an initiative through your legislature, which must come to a ballot of the people of the state of Missouri. And almost immediately, as in when the governor calls a special election or at the latest, the next general election, we'd have a vote on it. You and me and the guy down the street and the guy down the street from you and the guy in the northwest corner of the state and the guy in the southeast corner of the state, we'd all get together and we'd vote on that. That immediately you could change the law in the sovereign state of Missouri. That immediately you can change the government of the solemn state of Missouri. So it's imperative that you and I have these discussions about pot and guns and marriage and abortion. And it's imperative that we recognize the importance. If we believe in the republic that we say we believe in, of keeping those talks in Jefferson City, of recognizing the sovereignty of the state of Missouri and the citizens of the great state of Missouri over the cumulative body, and not ever appeal to the cooperative of the states for a ruling in any of those things. We have a tendency as conservatives to poo-poo centralized federal government, but then to go running back to it when there's something we want to get out of it. When we want to nationally illegalize abortion, we go running to bigger government. When we want to say gay people shouldn't be married because the Bible told me so, we go running to the centralized cooperative. And it's important, that, and it is so, so important that you understand you undermine the sovereignty of your own state every time you say, Second Amendment rights, my Second Amendment rights. Every time you say, Dear Supreme Court, dear federal appeals court, this violates my Second Amendment rights. Dear appeals court, this violates my freedom of speech. This violates my freedom of religion. No, it doesn't. The state of Missouri, in its sovereignty, is not bound by any of that. Now you can rightfully appeal those under current governing documents to the Missouri State Supreme Court, because virtually any infringement upon your right to exercise your religion is a violation of the Missouri Constitution. Virtually any restriction placed on your right to keep and bear arms is a violation of the Missouri State Constitution. Any, and I can't think of a single exception, because the Constitution specifically says by whatever means communicated, virtually any attempt to throttle your speech, your publishing, is a violation of the Missouri Constitution. And so you do have those rights reserved for you, but you must understand that those rights are reserved for you by the state of Missouri, and none of that has anything to do with a vote taken by the states of Alabama, Mississippi, Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, California, and Texas. None of those things that the state of Missouri either censors you in or guarantees you the freedom of have anything to do with a vote at the Central Cooperative of States. The people in Utah have nothing to say about your right to bear arms. The only protection they have is the same protection you have, and that is a protection from the Central Cooperative being allowed to make any restrictions on their right to bear, making any restrictions on their right to practice the religion of their choice, or none at all. Cannot force any religion upon them, and cannot do anything to limit their freedom of speech or of the press. Do you think then that given that degree of sovereignty in each of 50 states, that's a lot of power. Do you believe for a minute that given that degree of sovereignty in 50 different states, that there is any way in hell you can limit what a convention of the states can do? That's what our second segment is going to deal with.
You see the lambs in the ghetto who worship their Geppetto, believing you never seen the strings they think bind them. So we write to our congressmen with bleeding pins of the sorrow within, and pretend they just send tickets to the latest Tom Hanks.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
Okay, we've laid the groundwork now by threading the sovereignty of the individual, the power of the people, the supreme power of the state derived from the power of the people to the federal government. We followed that thread and we've established how that all works. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. And that is an important groundwork for where we go from there when we start talking about this upcoming convention of the states. Now, I have said for 3 years that I think we need a convention of states. I think we need an amendment convention. I think we've got to get this thing rolling and get things under control. I think I've said for 3 years that we need to repeal the 17th Amendment, that we need to repeal the 16th Amendment, replace the income tax with a consumption tax. And I've only recently added to those two amendments the state repeal amendment. And when I say only recently, I mean within the last year and a half or so, that is currently working its way through the Missouri legislature, which, see, if you're not familiar with, catch us next week, too, on Friday and Saturday night as we go over that. So let's look at the Constitution. There are two ways to amend the Constitution. If you don't remember, I'll remind you. One is for the federal legislature, with a two-thirds vote, to propose an amendment to the Constitution to the several states. And that amendment would go out to the several states for ratification by at least three-fourths or 38 of the states. So there's an amendment idea. Let's say that the United States government and all states have to recognize marriage between same-sex couples and also between humans and any animal that could be characterized as a farm animal. And the Congress gets all hot on this idea because it's all about equality and understanding science. And how it is that human sexuality works, something that we never, ever understood until last year. And so they propose this amendment. That doesn't amend the Constitution, ever. The Constitution, as we established in the first segment, belongs to the several states. It doesn't belong to the federal legislature. The federal government is not a rule unto itself ever. That is merely a proposal for an amendment. And it must go out then to the 50 states, and until 38 states accept it as an amendment to the Constitution, it is not such. As soon as the 38th state accepts it as an amendment to the Constitution, it becomes a part of the Constitution permanently and forever or until repealed. And repealed through by amendment to the Constitution through exactly the same process. Now that is a recognition by the Founding Fathers of the sovereignty of the states. Do you want to hear the Founding Fathers' recognition of the sovereignty of the people? The other method of ratification is that when two-thirds of the state's legislatures, remember, the state legislatures are mirrors of the people of the state. They are your sovereign representatives to the central authority. They are your solemn keepers of the federal authority. And you own and control them. When two-thirds of the state legislatures ask the United States Congress for an amendment, no, no, that's not even the way it is. Two-thirds of the legislatures need not ask for an amendment specifically. Two-thirds of the legislatures can say, we want a convention of the people to propose amendments to the Constitution. We want a convention of the people to propose amendments to the Constitution. Now, what has happened here in the eyes of George Mason, the father of Article 5, as it stands, in the eyes of the founders who established the Constitution, in the eyes of the writers of the Federalist Papers, who carried on a lengthy, sophisticated debate for ratification of the Constitution. Article 5 Convention is an appeal directly to the supreme sovereign of this great nation, the people. There is nothing at all more sovereign, as we established, than the basic building block, the individual person. And the Article 5 Convention is an appeal to that sovereign group for an amendment or amendments to the Constitution. Now, I ask you this. If you believe you can limit this convention, what limits does the Constitution place on the Congress when it comes to proposing amendments? Does the Constitution suggest that the Congress can only propose amendments in apply to balancing the federal budget or to monetary or fiscal constraint? Does the United States Constitution say that the federal legislative bodies can only talk about amendments that limit the federal power? Does the Constitution even say that the legislature can only discuss amendments that change wording in the Constitution and can't add anything new or subtract anything from the Constitution? No. There is no such restriction on the Congress when it comes to the proposition of amendments to the Constitution. What makes you think that there can constitutionally then be any such limits placed on the foremost sovereign in governance, the people themselves? What puts you in a position to approach the fundamental sovereign and say to that body, well, you can have your convention, but you can only talk about these things? What makes you imagine that you wield that kind of power? What are you going to do, you know, when someone proposes an amendment to recognize medical care as part of the general welfare. What are you going to do when someone proposes an amendment that says all this thing where you have to go to Congress to borrow money every year is hogwash? Let's just give that power to the president. What are you going to do when some state proposes an amendment that says, yes, the federal government is going to be supreme in deciding matters of abortion, and suddenly you find 34 states willing to accept that, provided it's okay with the people? Maybe only 30 states think that's a good idea. But what about when they convince four other states, well, I know you don't think it's a good idea, but let's throw that out. Let's throw that out. If it's not a good idea, then 38 states will ratify it. Let's throw it out for the general debate. When out of this convention comes a proposal to increase constitutionally and forever income taxes on people making over 6,000% of the poverty level, and eliminating any income tax on anyone making less than 20% or 200% of the poverty level. What are you going to do? To whom do you appeal the sovereignty of the people of this country? Wait a minute. What are you going to do when, by amendment, the people decide that these amendments need only be ratified by a vote of the people in the next general election? What are you going to do if this group of people gets together after you've recalled the two delegates from the state of Missouri because the convention is getting totally out of hand? After Missouri is no longer even represented at the table, when these people come out with an entirely new constitution and submit it to a general election, what are you going to do? You going to appeal that to the Supreme Court? Are you? You're going to go back to the Congress now and say, okay, none of these amendments are valid because, what? The supreme sovereign of this country, the people of the United States of America, voted for this Constitution. You're going to go to a now defunct legislative body and say, oh, hold on, do over. If you don't believe that the convention that gave us our current constitution was a runaway convention, then the convention that I just defined for you, also by your definition, is not a runaway convention. If you want to define the convention that I just gave you as a runaway convention, then you must also recognize historically we already had one like that. I want you to think about the things that we're talking about here in the second segment, because we're going to revisit this all next week. We're going to revisit this probably for two whole nights as we talk about the state repeal amendment, repeal of the 17th, and repeal of the 16th again. As we talk about the no fear approach you need to have to a convention of the states, but you do need, at the same time you don't fear it, to approach this thing with your eyes wide open. There's an awful lot of people coming away from state legislative hearings and from rallies and things thinking, oh yeah, you know, I'm in control here. I'm going to be able to say what these people can talk about and what they can't talk about. I'm going to be the sovereign. Screw this individual sovereignty thing. Screw this sovereignty of the people. Screw this government of, by, and for the people thing. I'm the decider here as to what gets amended and what doesn't even get talked about. How damned arrogant can you possibly be? How damned non-Republican? How crazy lost from what the founders intended can you possibly be when you say, no, the people aren't sovereign in this decision. I am sovereign in this decision. I say you can't talk about marriage here. You can only talk about this and that. Where does that constitutional authority come from? I ask you that. Now, that all aside, I say, once you've come to grips with the fact that you can neither morally, legally, nor constitutionally tell these people once they convene what they can and cannot discuss, once you come to that realization, and if you've got any kind of logical brain, you will come to that realization. Once you come to that realization, are you still in favor of a convention of states? Or are you only in favor of a convention of states if you are everyone's sovereign? Are you only in favor of a convention of the states if you are the puppet master who's pulling the strings? I believe, as the founders did, that we, the people, own this country through our state governments, sovereign unto themselves. I believe you do not get to call on the United States Cooperative of States to try in any way, shape, or form to subvert the sovereignty of the individual people who own their state governments. I believe that to do so is both unconstitutional and immoral, and I still do not fear your convention of the states. If you believe in what George Mason said, when he stood and said, this is the kind of government we need to give people relief from, you're not afraid of it either. Even if you don't get to be the puppet master. Because if you are afraid of this convention, if you will only let this convention happen in your mind, if you can control it, you are the person Mason was talking about. Think about that for a week and come back next week ready to talk about whether you're really on board for a convention of the states.
There are so many contradictions. All these messages read. Where do I fit?